like plants.
Gladiolas.
Better than people plants.
And magnolias.
They never do evil plants.
And begonias.
All they ever want is to grow. Plants.
Iris.
Are smarter than us.
Violets.
They make a living
give
without any fuss.
Us.
Water.
Water.
Sun and air.
And
are
sun.
All they need to grow. I think plants
we are so terrific.
Plants are generous souls.
Ooh.
They feed all the
It's Garden Talk, hour number two. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, in the KSRO greenhouse this morning. So, Gwen, you went to a lecture with the California Native Plant Society a while ago, and the lecturer, you told me, just knocked your socks off.
Yes, she did.
I don't know if you used the word knocked your socks off, but you were very impressed with this lecture. What impressed you about this talk?
Well, the topic was fire ecology, and the speaker, Sasha... I can't remember.
Was it Berlman?
Berlman, yeah. Yes. Fantastic speaker. Very knowledgeable. And she basically talked about our wildlands. Not so much in urban areas, really, but, you know, why we have fires and what causes fires and what contributes to fires and the good, bad, and the ugly about fires and whatnot. And it was an outstanding lecture, I tell you. So I hope she comes back again really soon and repeats the lecture for those that couldn't make it.
And to that end, you decided to invite some folks from California Native Plant Society to come in this morning.
Well, you know, we talk about the Santa Rosa Garden Club and the Healdsburg Garden Club, Windsor Garden Club, all these garden clubs. But there's not much mention about our own Milo Chapter, California Native Plant Society Garden Club. So we have our two guests here, and I said, let's just get people more aware of the California Native Plant Society and let them become members, and because this organization is just like a fountain of information that we have right here that not many people know about. So let's get the word out there about their organization.
So with that, we welcome Leah Giambastiani. How was that?
Oh, hi, thanks for having me.
I crossed my fingers to make sure I pronounced your name correctly. And Virginia Holtz-Steenhuyven, you're both, are you past president? Or
no, I'm the programs and lectures chair and co-chair of the Outreach and Education Committee.
So you booked the speaker series?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're current president?
Yes.
And do you like, you love native plants then?
I love native plants.
You have to say that, correct. And so how long do you serve?
As president?
Yeah.
This is actually my third term. This is my fifth year.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
They love you. You're president for perpetuity, for life. So, folks that are new to gardening or new to Sonoma County may not know the name Milo Baker, even. Who was Milo Baker? Why does he get his own chapter?
Milo Baker was a botanist in Sonoma County,
taught at the JC.
Yeah.
Yes. And in fact, he does have a building in the JC named after him.
Baker Hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very important. That's why.
Yeah.
Because he was very important in Sonoma County. So what's the mission of the organization? What do you do?
CNPS is a California Native Plant Society, is a statewide organization whose goals are to increase our understanding and appreciation of California native plants. And we work to preserve them and their natural habitats and for future generations so that everyone can enjoy them.
And to encourage people to use them in their own landscaping and in public landscaping.
And were you both spared fire-wise and have property of which you have native plants?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Yeah, my house was spared.
Good. Did you plant a lot of natives when you purchased your home, or what's your evolution of getting familiar with native plants?
Yes, I did plant lots of plants, and I after purchasing the house. And I did also help my parents do native landscaping in their yard before.
Are you a California native?
I actually, I was born in Georgia, so no. Well, but my parents are California native.
Well, you must have moved here at an early age because I don't hear any y'all or anything. Okay.
I did, yeah.
So you're really heavily invested in native plants. And why is it important to plant native plants instead of anything we find at Home Depot?
Native plants have evolved here for thousands of years to adapt to the conditions that we have here in this area and throughout Sonoma County and California. And so they've evolved with humans, with animals, with the insects that are very specific to them to pollinate and spread them and survive those dry, hot summers that we have and the cold, sometimes freezing winters.
And what about you, Virginia? When did you get involved with native plants?
Many years ago on a peripheral basis, I had worked as a field naturalist and taught adult education classes that focus on human use of the environment, particularly ethnobotany. And I taught at the Academy of Sciences in San Francisco and College of Marin. That's when the Academy had an adult ed program, so that's a good 30 years ago. But that, and my mother had been using natives in the garden. She'd have my sister go out on horseback. We lived in Menlo Park, and Kate would gather plants, dig them up, and bring them home and transplant them to the garden. So I kind of grew up with that. And while I started out in archaeology, I ended up being much more interested in how people used the plants in the past and still use them. And one thing led to another. And then I had worked for 23 years at the JC in the disability field and occasionally would get to lecture. But when I retired, I thought, I'm getting involved with CNPS because it's such a lively group of people with diverse interests.
That's wonderful.
So I'm up to my eyeballs and enjoying it thoroughly.
So do you have a website where native plants are listed and information's available?
Yeah, great question. We do have a website, and that's specific to the Sonoma County chapter. It's Milo Baker, MILOBAKER.CNPS.org. And there's also a state website as well where you can find us, but that's CNPS.org, pretty simple.
And there's 35 chapters in California.
Do you have a statewide convention?
Yes, as a matter of fact. It's coming up, isn't it?
We have meetings, four meetings a year where all the chapters get together at our state board. And then we also have a California Native Plant Society Conservation Conference that happens every 2 years, and it's coming up in February 1st is the very beginning of our conference. It's down in Southern California this year. It's really fantastic with an amazing group of speakers, check that out.
So how can people get involved in the local chapter?
Oh, we have a pretty active group. Our board, I think there's at least 15 people on our board, and then we have regular members that participate, over 400 members in Sonoma County.
I had no idea.
That's the biggest garden club, I think. I think you beat Santa Rosa Garden Club's membership.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And people can go just to the website and enroll. Are there annual dues?
There is an annual due. There's, depending on what your income level is, there's limited income, there's student, there's general, there's family. You can go on the website and sign up through cnps.org.
Just indicate what chapter you want to be affiliated with.
If not, they look up your address and find where you're located to partner with you at the local chapter.
Do you have monthly meetings?
We do have monthly meetings. Skip the month of December, so this next month we won't have one. But Virginia, would you like to tell them about our next speaker?
Yes, we're just ending our fall series. That Sasha Berlman was our last speaker, and then in January we'll have Veronica Bowers, who's director of Native Songbird Care in Sebastopol, and she'll be addressing birdscaping, landscaping for wild birds. February, we'll have Brent Mishler, PhD, who's the president of the new bryophyte mosses. chapter. It's an independent chapter. It's something that people don't think about, but mosses are fascinating. Mm-hmm. And he's also the head of Jepson Herbarium and UC Herbariums. Oh. And it's going to be, his focus on his talk will be about mosses and related plants. But it'll be interesting. And just talking to him, he's a delightful, energetic man. So he's one of those people that will be able to talk about scientific subjects in a way that anybody can understand.
Well, you'd have to be to hold my attention for mosses.
Yeah.
I mean, I like mosses, but it's got to be a real passion of this guy's hold an audience
it is.
For that.
So it's going to be interesting. And then in March, I'm waiting to hear about a speaker. I'm hoping we'll have someone speak on eco-psychology, which is a kind of important area. There have been articles in the PD about forest therapy, and it's related to that. April, we'll have Teresa Molino, who's the director of the Anthropology Museum at Santa Rosa JC. She'll be talking on ethnobotany, or paleoethnobotany, which is really looking at ancient human use by looking at archaeological materials. And then in May, we're going to have Maya Kolsa, who's a biologist, filmmaker, and poet. And she has produced this marvelous documentary called Searching for the Gold Spot, The Wild After Wildfire. And I've seen it twice now. And it's a perfect film for people in this county to see now because she spent 5 years following fire ecologists and firefighters to see how the Stanislaus National Forest recovered after the fire, and it's fascinating and enlightening. It's a good follow-up to Sasha Berlman's talk, and she'll be there also to speak. And then June, we're going to have a group of members of the Northern California Botanical Illustrators Association to come and talk about botanical illustration, how you do it. They'll be demonstrating and inviting audience participation to work with colored pencils and watercolor.
I want to go to that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I will say that these are all on the third Tuesday of the month. They're held at the Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center, different from the Luther Burbank home, but so the Luther Burbank Art and Garden Center on Yalupa.
2050 Yalupa.
2050 Yalupa Avenue. And they're held at 7:30 p.m. they start until around 9-ish, depending on how long the speaker goes. And they're free to all. There's no admission charges, and we really welcome everyone to come to learn more about native plants.
The building is wheelchair accessible, so there's no stairs. And there's a plant ID session that starts at 6:45 and runs until, 7:15? And we have members there who are knowledgeable about identifying plants, so people can bring in materials and look at them through a microscope and get help. And then we have a raffle where you can get a ticket, or you get one free if you make yourself a name tag when you come in.
Oh, so there's strings attached.
Yes. And then you can buy five for I don't know how much. But your chances are of winning a nice, fresh, healthy, best practices raised California native suitable to Sonoma County.
Oh, that's fantastic. What an ambitious lecture series you've for the first 6 months or so, 2018.
And I say if you go to their meeting in January, they have someone there who will also take your membership. So don't do it in the mail or anything. Just get there, go to the lecture,
sign
up.
And we sell wonderful books. We have this huge array of books about native plants, landscaping with native plants, and related subjects.
636-1350. We'll take a break, and we can go back to calls for Gwen Kilcher and a couple special guests, Virginia and Leah from the Milo Baker chapter of the California Native Plant Society. 636-1350 for any and all gardening questions or comments if you are a little shy about talking on the radio and you know how difficult this is. You can email steve@ksro.com. We do have a follow-up from Dennis, who asked about the redwood trees being cut down. He says, "Dear Steve and Gwen, the trees I noticed cut down were along Highway 101 around the Kmart area." Of course, the Kmart was destroyed by the fire. And he said, "Thank you for talking so much about the issue. I learned a lot more and realize it's a lot more complicated, possibly, than I thought."
You know, a lot of those trees along Redwood Highway, if you've noticed, the tops dying, and then the tree has a slight brown hint to it. They're definitely not healthy looking redwood trees, because who knows, this, because I'm not from here, why anybody thought of planting redwood trees along the highway where you know, they don't get any water, so they're growing in an environment that they do not want to live in. So those trees were probably compromised before the fire, and someone had made note of them, probably Caltrans. And so therefore, with the fire that they sustained, the damage maybe was just more than the trees can handle, and so then they had to justify. That's how they justified in taking them down.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. No one on hold at this moment. 636-1350. Any and all questions relating to the world of plants will be gladly entertained. It's that simple to join us in the KSRO greenhouse.
Cardinal Newman versus Marin Catholic for the NCS Division III title. This Saturday night at 7, Nick Matos has the play-by-play here on KSRO.
The 2017-18 season is underway within Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center. Once again, this season offers a great variety of entertainment. Sunday, December 10th at 3 p.m., the Philharmonic Baroque Orchestra and Chorale perform Handel's Messiah, with Nicholas McGeegan conducting. On Friday, December 15th, celebrate the 30th anniversary of Windham Hill's Winter Solstice, featuring William Ackerman, Barbara Higbee, Alex Degrassi, and Todd Boston. Then Saturday, December 16th, it's a vivacious Celtic Christmas from Cherish the Ladies, one of the top Celtic groups in the world. It's an evening of captivating arrangements and stunning step dancing. An evening at Weill Hall at Sonoma State University's Green Music Center offers an experience you'll never forget. For tickets and more info, visit gmc.sonoma.edu. This year, the holidays come to life in downtown Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it makes holiday shopping so much more enjoyable. New this year, the Downtown Holiday Passport, your guide to the greatest deals and savings.
Hi, this is Nancy from She, a fabulous women's boutique. You can stop by and pick up your Downtown Holiday Passport and receive a 20% discount at She during the holidays.
Hi, my name is Adam. I'm one of the brewers here at 3rd Street Ale Works. For participating in the Downtown Holiday Passport, we'll be offering a buy two entrees and getting a free appetizer. I'm looking forward to see some of you guys this holiday season. Come party with us here at 3rd Street Ale Works.
You can pick up the Downtown Holiday Passport at participating merchants and restaurants, the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber, and the California Welcome Center. Take advantage of passport savings while shopping downtown. See more and learn more at srcity.org/downtown.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. Today and tomorrow, the holiday open house at the Luther Burbank Center, the Home and Gardens. It's the 38th annual today and tomorrow from 10 to 4. Entry 12 and older is $3. It's at Santa Rosa and Sonoma Avenues in downtown Santa Rosa. And it's really, 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 really wonderful. You experience the charming reminder of bygone days when you tour the home decked out in old-fashioned holiday finery inside and out. You can see the latest exhibits, shop for unique Burbank-related items in the Carriage House Museum and Gift Shop. Free parking available, and it's done entirely in-house with volunteers. Starting the Tuesday after holiday open house and running Monday through Friday until December 22nd, the gift shop is open by request. Call ahead at 524-5445 to confirm that someone's available to open up. And also, Gayla Baron will be there today signing copies of her Santa Rosa, a 19th Century Town book that was written along with Dee Blackman and Joanne Mitchell. I think those other two authors are possibly going to be there today and maybe tomorrow. The Chops Teen Club, which is down at Railroad Square, they're going to be providing complimentary spiced tea and cookies. And, of course, there is free parking and lots of handmade holiday crafts Okay, so it support that. It's wonderful, something to do and break up the craziness of holiday shopping and truly get in the holiday spirit. The holiday open house today and tomorrow, the 38th annual at the Luther Burbank Home and Gardens in downtown Santa Rosa. Isn't that nice? Rachel joined us last week with Dave Fazio, who's the garden educating director and curator, and talked a little bit about that on the air. So do that today or tomorrow. Okay, back to native plants. What do you have in front of you, Gwen?
Virginia just passed along these two magazines here for me to look at. One is Fremantia, and the other is Flora. And they are from about the California Native Plant. It's from the California Native Plant Society talking about California native plants. And one of them has an article, which is just what we need to hear. It's inspiration and advice for gardening with native plants. Mm. But this was from September 2012 to January 2013. So this sounds like this comes out 4 times a year?
It's a quarterly. And then Flora is the newest publication that's taking the place of a monthly bulletin. I'm not sure how often it's going to be out. Maybe monthly. But it has more general interest articles.
And how do you get these magazines?
By joining CNPS. You get them automatically as a member. Mm-hmm. But you can buy back issues online through the CNPS store.
Otherwise, each one of these magazines is $10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these are, you're looking
they're
at...
beautifully illustrated.
Yeah. Oh, these are fantastic. You know, the Rare Fruit Growers mm-hmm. Society has their magazine that they come out with when you become a member. So it's similar to that, except this magazine here is beefier. And it's got a lot of information in here. And wow, this is definitely worth becoming a member just to receive these magazines. Thank you.
And also want to plug the PD for their Thursday article on native plants and recovery. You brought the article in, Leah. And what impressed you about this particular article on the Thursday PD?
Well, this article is fantastic. Virginia brought it in. It's fantastic. It's written by Melanie Parker of Sonoma County Regional Parks. And she really does a nice summary of how the parks will recover after the fires. Mm-hmm. And one of the key things that I appreciated in the article is just talking about how the native plants have been adapted to recover from the fires on their own, and that there are seeds that wait in the soil for these fires to come through and are ready to just waiting to regenerate and grow. And so really just letting those natural processes take shape and happen on their own is important. And looks like Regional Parks is really moving in that direction and has been so exciting to see the article they wrote.
So when people tell us, you know, they say that they want to go out and sow wildflower seeds or ground cover seeds and this and that, that is really something they should not do. Because Sasha, who did the presentation, said that when we had Frederica, she said not to do that. So the consensus is that we really need to not sow any seeds.
Wait and see. Unless it's in your own yard mm-hmm. and you're in an urban environment, mm-hmm. not next to a wild area.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because sometimes the general wildflower seed packets have seeds that are non-natives to California, and they're from different areas. Unless we collect, each chapter collects seeds, and we sell locally collected seeds at our plant sales. But you might want to address more of that,
Leah. I agree with what you guys were saying. It's really important to know about your seeds that you're putting out, and I think it's fine to put out seeds if you're in an urban area, but the risk of putting out seeds if you own property that's not in an urban area is you could be bringing in non-native species that will spread out to other areas. And you also might be, if you were in an area that did burn, you might be stopping some of those natives that come up after burns that really only occur after burns. So last time we had a burn might have been 50 or 100 years, depending on where you live. Mm-hmm. So give those plants an opportunity to come up post-fire.
Yeah, as Sasha pointed out, there's a 15,000-plus-year history of people burning on a regular basis, intentional burns, that was recorded not only orally by Native Americans through the generations, but by early explorers in California. And there's a wonderful book by Richard Minnick called California's Fading Wildflowers, and he quotes from early journals about what they were seeing as they came up through California, and they compared the grasslands, well, the prairies that were covered not only with grasses but forbs, herbaceous plants, to those parks in England. And they, there was a lot of smoke, they commented on. Explorers who, Portola, who was at Sweeney Ridge down on Pacifica, which overlooks the whole bay, said there was smoke everywhere because there was this mosaic of regular burns. One area they'd burn, say, a chaparral, that would end, that fire would stop where they'd burned, say, 6 months or a year earlier. Mm-hmm. So there was this even mosaic of regular burning that brought in cultural resources, plants that they needed for basketry, for fish traps, for basketry played such an important part, and hazel and willow and redbud and a variety of other sedges all need to be heat treated, essentially, and that includes intensive fire as well as moderate and low intensity.
We'll take a break. It's the bottom of the hour. Virginia and Leah joining us from the Milo Baker chapter of the California Native Plant Society on this edition of Garden Talk. Gwen and Steve back after this news break in the KSRO Greenhouse Live this morning, taking your questions. And we can go back to the phones at 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO after this news break. At 11:05, Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen to anchor the Good Food Hour as we welcome chefs Stuart Brioza and Nicole Krasinski, co-owners of State Bird in San Francisco, voted best new restaurant in America by Bon Appetit magazine, also best restaurant in America by the James Beard Society for their new restaurant. Quite remarkable feats, and they have a brand new cookbook called the State Bird Cookbook, naturally. So if you can't get into the restaurant, which is a distinct possibility, get the cookbook. They'll be in the studio live with John and me coming up from San Francisco today. I think you'll enjoy it.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrat's Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats, beef, chicken, and pork. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
This year, the holidays come to life in downtown Santa Rosa. There are so many unique shops and delectable restaurants, it makes holiday shopping so much more enjoyable. New this year, the Downtown Holiday Passport, your guide to the greatest deals and savings.
Hi, my name's Prince, Director of Operations for Chumbi Hospitality Group. On behalf of BB's Burger Bar, Stout Brothers Irish Pub, and Beer Baron, we would like to wish you happy holidays. Stop by any of our locations for the Downtown Holiday Passport for great savings.
Happy holidays, everyone. This is Jana from Diamonds and Curls Salon. Come in, pick up the Downtown Holiday Passport, and receive a free Kerastase treatment with any hair service. Hope to see you during the holidays.
You can pick up the Downtown Holiday Passport at participating merchants and restaurants, the Santa Rosa Metro Chamber, and the California Welcome Center. Take advantage of passport savings while shopping downtown. See more and learn more at srcity.org/downtown.
Children laughing, holding hands with the ones you love. That moment where you found the perfect gift. That's what great holiday memories are all about. Casey's American Kitchen invites you to create these moments when you visit the Windsor Town Green. Holiday shopping can work up an appetite, and Casey's is the perfect place for a flame-broiled burger, fresh salad, fish and chips, and lots more. Dine on Casey's heated patio and gaze at the Christmas trees on the town green. Merry Christmas from Casey's American Kitchen. Free parking, stress-free shopping, and beautiful memories. Discover downtown Windsor.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
President Trump at a New York City fundraiser celebrating the Senate passing their massive tax bill, saying the GOP did it all alone.
We got no Democrat help, and I think that's going to cost them very big in the election because basically they voted against tax cuts.
The bill includes the elimination of the Obamacare mandate, a corporate tax cut from 35% to 20%, and doubling the standard deductions, but abolishing all individual state and local income tax deductions. The bill now heads to the House for reconciliation. A day after his former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pled guilty to a felony count of lying to the FBI while investigating collusion between Russia and the campaign, the president today tweeting that he had to fire him because of his lies, but they say his actions during the transition were lawful. Found safe in upstate New York, a missing Florida teenage girl nearly 1 week after the teen allegedly left home with a local soccer coach 10 years her senior. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies on the way, mostly cloudy today at 59, 57 on the coast. A few clouds tonight, low 41, 43 on the shores. Blue skies for Sunday at 59, 56 in Bodega Bay. Sunny for Monday at 62, 59 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner along with Gwen Kilcher. So we got a call last hour about the barberry bush, the berberis, and someone just emailed us a few minutes ago saying, is this true or not? And it's a website, and it reads, Japanese barberry. This invasive is a tick nursery. So I'm not quite sure what that means, but you know, it's in the... This little resource, Winning Shrubs and Roses by Sonoma County, the Sonoma County, the Santa Rosa Garden Club recommends it. And they don't mention anything about it being particularly invasive. You sold it, you sold hybrids when you managed Callaway's Nursery when you were the plant buyer. Is
right.
That right.
So I don't think anybody sells plain old Japanese barberry. There were all hybrids, you know, cultivars, different varietals of Japanese barberry. Maybe it's invasive somewhere on the East Coast where the conditions are more suitable for growing Japanese barberry. But out here, we don't have any summer rains. We don't have humidity. We don't have anything, all of which what the plant likes. So when we buy it at a nursery, it's a variety of some sort, and you have to give it regular watering because it's not a drought-tolerant plant, and it'll just dry up and die on you. So I'm thinking maybe this is a problem in the Midwest and the East Coast where it's more where they get more rain and humidity and whatnot. But I'm not familiar with Japanese barberry, plain old Japanese barberry being sold anywhere else.
Gee,
here.
I wonder if there's a good website we could check for invasive plants.
There is.
That's your cue, Leah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The California has an invasive plant council. It's CalIPC, and they evaluate and rate the risk of plants to both be invasive and are classified as invasive. So they have a classification to really put up there what's the biggest risk for invading wild areas.
Were you able to find barberry on there? Berberis?
They did have a barberry, but not the same species, not the Berberis vulgaris that you guys had talked about.
Right.
That wasn't on there.
So some possibly are, but not the one we had particularly talked about.
Not even some. It doesn't.
It was just
sound
one. There was
just
one species of
one.
Yes, of a barberry. But there are four native barberries to California, and maybe even more. It looks like I was just checking out another website. It looks like we might have as many as 13 native barberries. So you might have other options too if you wanted to look at a native plant.
Johnny, mm-hmm. Good morning. Welcome to Garden Talk live at KSRO. What can we do for you, Johnny? Hi.
Steve, I have a 200-foot driveway with 13 redwoods on the long side of it. And I'm wondering what kind of native plants I can put under redwoods.
We got just the gals here to answer that question.
Yeah, redwood sorrel and wild ginger, Asarum caudatum.
I'm not so fast now.
Yeah, what was the first one again, Virginia?
Redwood sorrel.
Redwood sorrel.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the genus.
Rus? No.
No.
Is that a low-growing thing?
Yes, it is.
It spreads?
It spreads?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It's a ground cover type.
Ground cover. And another one is wild ginger, Asarum caudatum.
Wild ginger, Asarum caudatum.
There's always sword ferns.
That one likes deep shade, the wild ginger, and it has actually really beautiful small red flowers. They're kind of hard to see, but it is an evergreen ground cover, very low growing. And so if you have a really shady area, I highly recommend that plant for being under redwoods.
And
these trees are 20 feet apart, and they're about 70 feet tall. So there's sun in between.
Okay.
You could use huckleberry.
Yep, that's a good one.
Would be a good one, and you could get to eat them. The birds will like it, but huckleberries make good jam.
I will also recommend the CNPS website. There's a Gardening with Natives section, and also on our local chapter, we have Gardening with Natives, and I believe on either of those, you could find what grows good under redwoods or what grows good under oaks, and so you can kind of look at what might be possibilities for your situation.
And the address of that is cmps.com?
.org. O-R-G.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of leatherleaf ferns. No, western sword fern.
Yeah, western sword fern.
Western sword ferns.
Ready.
Well, I mean, those are natives, but there's a lot of plants that do well under redwood trees. But so we have viburnum will do well, won't it?
Yeah, but specifically California natives he was looking for.
Okay.
So.
Oh, and the rhododendrons. Those would do very well.
On one side, in between,
natives.
Have dogwoods that are doing very well.
Is it a native dogwood or a European?
I don't remember what variety it was.
It might be the Sarracea. Sometimes those are grown horticulturally.
Yeah.
There's a stream dogwood or red twig dogwood, and they have really beautiful red twigs, and then and green leaves that are such bright green, and they do have some small clusters of flowers.
And they lose their leaves. They're deciduous. So in the winter, you get this beautiful reddish, deep reddish-brown color.
They're deciduous.
Yes.
There's a few suggestions for you.
Well, I'll get on that website and get some more.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. We will talk to Randy, who's calling from Casadero, and another couple calls when we return for Garden Talk at KSRO this morning.
Sonoma County's local news, weather, and traffic station, FM News Talk, KSRO, 103.5, 94.5.
was always tough for me, even at my happiest moments, because of my smile. I never knew about cosmetic dentistry, but now my smile is perfect. Thank you, Dr. Sean Wilson.
I know having a beautiful smile makes everyone feel great. Unfortunately, even if you were born with perfect teeth, they may not be so perfect now. Gaps, fillings, stains, chipped, and discolored teeth can all affect appearance, self-confidence, and quality of life. From tooth whitening to implants, my passion is creating your unique and amazing smile that can even make you look younger.
There's only one dentist that's been voted Sonoma County's best dentist 6 years in a row. There's a reason why. Get the smile you've always wanted. Tell your smartphone to call Dr. Sean Wilson DDS and schedule your appointment today.
Calling Dr. Sean Wilson DDS.
Attention, Northern California wine country wildfire victims. If you or your family has suffered injury or death, damage to your property or to a commercial business as a result of the fires, you may have a claim for damages from PG&E. For information, call our special legal helpline now at 800-722-FIRE. That's 800-722-FIRE. Call now. The state's Public Utilities Commission has launched an investigation into whether PG&E's maintenance of its equipment in Sonoma and Napa County may have played a role in these deadly fires, including whether it adequately cut back trees from power lines to reduce the known risk of fire. Reports show that PG&E has a long history of being found responsible for major wildfires because of inadequate maintenance of its power lines. How do you protect your rights and fight for the compensation you deserve? You choose the right legal team that has the experience, support staff, and resources to get you the most compensation for your damages. Call our special legal helpline now at 800-722-FIRE. That's 800-722-FIRE for a free case review.
Creams Towing is Sonoma County proud. Proud of the countless first responders that have helped save our community. Proud of the community for showing their appreciation to the first responders. Proud to know organizations came from as far away as Australia to fight the fires. Proud that so many people donated to those displaced and at evacuation centers. Proud of a community where even the youngest Girl Scouts volunteer to visit with other kids at evacuation centers. Proud to be a family business locally owned in Sonoma County since 1977 and will be here helping the community as we all recover and rebuild. Proud to be Creams Towing. From flat tires on the freeway to Cal Fire trucks in the hills, we are proud to help in what we do best. And since 1977, we've said, don't scream, call Creams.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
588-1250. 588-1250. Call Creams.
So before we take our next call, do you come up with a few more suggestions for Johnny to plant underneath his redwood trees?
These ladies were just on a roll and they were rattling off all these names. So go for it. What did you come up with?
Oh, Trillium.
Trillium? Mm-hmm.
It might be hard to find, but they're worth it. They're lovely plants.
Okay. And Mahonia, right?
Right.
Isn't there a native Mahonia, did you say?
Yes. I would have to.
Mahonia repens? The creeping one? I don't remember.
There's taller ones, shrubby ones. Let me see. We've
got well, that's okay. That's okay.
Right. And then other ones, we've got wood rose.
Wood rose. Wood rose.
Yeah. And there's different species of native roses here in Sonoma County, so that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
they smell good.
Yerba buena is a small herb that has great smells, and people do use, you can use it.
As a tea. Lovely tea.
Mm-hmm.
Young Doug fir needles and yerba buena. Together, you steep it.
And then you mentioned the giant chain fern. Is that one that you really liked?
Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful fern. It's Woodwardia, what, radicans? But it's giant chain fern. And in each stem are two vascular bundles. And those are used by Northwestern California Native Americans in basketry. So if you're at a basketry exhibit and you see, you know, materials, you'll see that.
Myrna, thanks very much for holding. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Hi, Myrna.
Hi. It's good to speak with you again. My question is, I have the navel orange, about 25, 30 years old, has fruit on it approximately 7 to 8 inches in diameter, and I'm finding it up on those, on the branches, the bottom is rotten, and it's still on the branch, and then it tumbles off. What do you think is going on with that orange tree?
Jeez. Didn't you have a problem with another orange tree way back when? You called about it, they were splitting or something?
What a fabulous memory you have. Yes, they were splitting. And you said it was due to the extreme heat and the cold and heat. So they've stopped splitting because our heat is gone.
Okay.
But the oranges are huge, but just the bottom, you can put your finger right up through them. It's rotten.
They probably... Go ahead. Go ahead.
But they still stay on the tree for quite a while, and then they tumble off.
Are all the oranges like that, did you say? Or some of them were hit and miss? Or you, the lower ones?
No, it's all over the tree. Top, and the middle, and the bottom.
Is this 20-year-old tree?
Oh, it's more than 20 years old.
Okay, but this is the same tree now with another problem?
Yes, ma'am.
How is this getting watered?
In the summer, water it once a week. In the winter, I don't water it until I feel that I can dig down around the ground and see if it's damp, dry, or whatever.
Okay.
So every 2 or 3 weeks, I water it in the winter.
So during the summer, go ahead.
During the summer, I give it once a week. It gets 20 gallons of water.
20 gallons of water.
Once a week in the well.
Okay, for a big, giant tree. So that's, I'm not going to say it's getting overwatered, and so there's just too much water in the fruits are compromised. It could be that it's just getting a rot, like a citrus rot, brown rot. I don't remember exactly, but somewhere along the line, I'm trying to get a visual of this. Are the fruits hidden in the foliage so they're not exposed to any sun, or can you see them readily?
I can see them.
I can see
all of them.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not that they're getting too much shade, and now that's not an issue.
No.
Do you know what? You don't know what variety this is, do you?
Yes, all I know is that it's a navel orange.
A navel orange. Well, it could just be the plain old Washington navel orange. I'm kind of stuck with that.
Oh, okay. So now, as someone, a novice, said, "Oh, it's a fungus," and I thought, "Well, I better call this Gwen at this radio station, who's very knowledgeable, and see if she agrees with that." That is, I don't know how a fungus knows to just settle on the bottom of the orange. And there's nothing on the leaves. There are no bugs, no mold, nothing.
Okay, well, the fungus, you know, when it's on the leaves or on the fruit and it falls on the ground, okay, and then the next year comes with splashing rain and whatnot, all the spores fly up and they hit the bottom part of the plant or the first fruits that they come to, and then those get affected and then they start working its way up the tree. But it could also be, Leah's giving me some information regarding,
calcium.
A calcium problem.
Calcium.
Oh,
no.
Could be, but at a 20-plus-year-old tree, probably would have had issues a long time ago, I'm thinking.
See, and I'm very faithful in fertilizing. I fertilized in September. That was my next question. Should I fertilize again?
No, I wouldn't do any more fertilizing. If the leaves are green, a nice, healthy green... Don't be fertilizing. If anything, you put mulch around the base of the tree. And any organic matter that just breaks down, that'll help feed the tree. It could be a physiological thing, too. But I'm leaning more towards it has a disease of some sort. And it could just be that brown rot, which I know it on, peaches and nectarines and stuff, because...
Yeah.
It starts in one spot of that orange. And if you can find some oranges that are not really compromised yet and see if you can find there's one spot that you can put your finger through and the rest of the fruit is hard, that's the source of infection right there on that spot. But you'd have to get a magnifying glass out and look and see if you can see little things growing on it, which is the fungus that's causing the problem. I would take off all the fruits that are compromised and get rid of them.
Myrna, we've got to run. I'm sorry we can't spend more time, but do a little more exploring, investigating, and call us back after you've looked a little more intensely at those fruits. From Casadero, Randy, thanks for holding. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Steve and Gwen, and hello to your guest.
Hi.
We have a couple of the Columbia lilies. They're natives. I'm looking at your chart, your native plant chart, and so I'm IDing it correctly, I hope. And one of them for the last few years has suffered from, only thing I can describe it as is maybe crown rot. It'll come up 2 or 3 sections of leaves in the spring, and then it just browns out. And I don't know quite what to do about it.
Do you have any ideas, Virginia?
Well, if we could get the, if you have the resource there, if it, you've got the genus and species, that would be helpful for us looking this up.
Well, according to your chart here, it's Lilium Columbianum.
Columbianum.
Are they in the ground or in pots?
No, they're in the ground. These are wild. These are native.
Oh, okay.
And so, no, I'm sorry, could you repeat the problem again?
Well, they come up a couple of sections in the spring, and then one of them seems to suffer from a crown rot or something. It turns brown and then doesn't put on the flower, which is just fabulous.
They do look to be beautiful flowers, and unfortunately, I'm unable to diagnose something like that over the phone.
Oh. I wonder if late rains have something to do with it, because the water gets in the
leaf, in the roots and the leaves.
You know how the leaves come out in one spot and they keep coming out, and they kind of like have a bowl shape to them, like a cup shape to them.
Well,
and then,
you know, there's three of them out, and only one of them suffers from this.
Hmm. He's a weak one.
Well, maybe I should try and just give it some shelter from the rain and see if that helps.
Maybe you should pull it out, do you think?
No, I wouldn't pull it out yet. No. I would go ahead and give it some shelter from the rain. If you can get some kind of big plastic container thing and put it over the plant and see what happens, because we're not quite sure what growing conditions it really likes, but
well, this is redwood forest. It's, you know, it's under oaks and redwoods, and
without being able to see it, it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
To figure out what's going on.
I would hate to lose it, because the fragrance is just, you could smell those flowers 100 feet.
If you
away.
Can take a photo and send us an email, we'd sure like a chance to look at it. Can you do that?
That would be good.
Well, it's not up yet.
Oh.
It's still just sticks from the last few years sticking out of the ground.
Insect activity going on?
And you know, unfortunately, we're out of time. The hour's waste by, and I'm sorry we can't spend more time, Randy, but let's not put this to bed quite yet. Let's continue on in the coming weeks. And
send a photo next week.
And send a photo if you can, so we can explore this in more depth.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
50 years ago, John Promzini was farming hay in Marin and Sonoma counties, and like every ambitious young man, started to look for a winter project. He was up in the mountains on a fishing trip with his parents when he was inspired by the beautiful fir trees surrounding them. So began the Promzini Christmas Tree Farms, serving Marin and Sonoma County for the past 50 years. The Promzini Christmas Tree Farm is truly a family business, and the whole family works very hard to keep up with the technology and new products like beautiful handmade accessories. Check out their locations from Marin to Sonoma County and make it a special family outing. Choose from their 6 varieties of the best quality fir trees available at any of their locations. Things have changed since 1963, but the one thing that has never and will never change at Promzini Christmas Tree Farm is their commitment to the quality of their trees and the service to their customers. Find a location near you. Go to PromziniTrees.com. PromziniTrees.com.
The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market won the Best Sonoma County Farmers Market Award by the Press Democrat's Reader's Choice. To find out why, shop the market for your holiday feasts. Enjoy selections of fresh and organic greens, mushrooms, carrots, potatoes, turnips, Brussels sprouts, and winter squash, along with seasonal pomegranates, persimmons, apples, and walnuts. Meet the local ranchers who offer a variety of quality meats, beef, chicken, and pork. Choose fresh fish and crab from a variety of seafood vendors and sample local dairy products. Everything you need to create the freshest holiday dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Remember to check out the creations of the many talented artisans for holiday gift giving. Open year-round Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Here's something good for your soul Sunday mornings with the Center for Spiritual Living. Tune in at 8:30 and hear a half-hour message of practical spirituality from Edward Filyun. You'll hear spiritual practices translated into inspirational ideas for everyday living. Spiritual Living with Edward Filyun, Sunday mornings at 8:30.
Think of it as spirituality for people who don't like church. That's Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, brought to you every Sunday morning at 8:30 on News Talk 1350 KSRO.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
This is KSRO Santa Rosa. I want to thank Virginia and Leah for coming in from the Milo Baker chapter of the California Native Plant Society. Your next meeting is?
January 16th. That's the third Tuesday in January. It'll be Veronica Bowers, Director of the Native Songbird Care and Conservation, and she'll be talking about birdscaping.
And a great chance to check out the organization and become a member and support this great organization. Thanks, Gwen, for lining this show up today.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Coming up next, after the news, Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen.
This is FM News Talk Radio at 103.5 FM and 90.